Introducing, hosting from the Portuguese section of Massachusetts, representing those that choose to sue, representing for all his voice mocks because he can't see colors, the man, the king, the motherfucking god of this pod, Matt Souza.
Hosting from the Tain of America, representing that fuck, marry, kill game, representing for all the dudes in the group chat, Central Time, representing the motherfucking late club, it's Jen DK.
Matt Souza, we are back for our 14th episode of GCW, a game-changing podcast. How are you, my friend?
It is great to be here. 14 episodes. We are post-mania. We are post-the collective. Holy hell, we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, there's been a lot. Look at us. We're matching.
Look at that. It was almost like we planned it that way, except we didn't, because we're not that smart.
We're not, unfortunately. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we did get to see each other over many a weekend, so that mm-hmm. was amazing. Yep. And we got a very awkward and terrible photo made beside the ring there.
I don't know what you're talking about. Listen, turns out when you spend a whole day drinking, things happen.
Yeah, the photogenic nature, you know, dwindles throughout the day.
And I don't have one to begin with.
You have a specific aesthetic in photos. I've noticed your go-to, like my go-to duck lips pose, you have something similar, which is just wide-eyed, unsmiling face.
Wide-eyed unsmiling, huh?
Yes.
That's what they call it, I guess. But yeah, that is my thing, and that thing was long gone by the time GCW started. Good God almighty.
We were front row, which was a treat and amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all over at the show. Yep. Lots of people I recognize from our group when I watched it back today. So that was cool. I love seeing my friends. I love seeing me and my friends on GCW.
And hey, I do remember the show, so that's good.
Yeah, that's also
I didn't reach that level.
No, I love that for us because that was a goal to actually remember
most of
the shows that we went to.
It was touch and go for a while there, but goddamn it, we made it.
Who won Mania again? Okay, never mind.
I'm not familiar. I don't know. Yeah.
Somebody finished their story, I thought.
Yeah. But... Dusty's kid or something?
Yeah, I vaguely recall something like that. So we have, like you said, a lot to talk about. So I guess that will lead us right into our first segment.
Before we talk about the collective, we have to talk about pre-collective. We got to go back to March 23rd, which may as well be 7 months ago at this point, as we go to Role Model from Detroit, as the Garbage Daddies defeated the Michigan Pillars, who were led to the ring by former Detroit Red Wing and multiple times Stanley Cup champion Darren McCarty. So that was pretty cool for the hockey person in me. Gringo Loco defeated Isaiah Broner, Joshua Bishop, Karam, Marcus Mathers, and Oni El Bendito in a scramble. Blake Christian beat Sawyer Reck. Microman defeated Dan the Dad. The Rich and the Powerful, which is Paro and Richard Holiday, beat the Mothership of Alley Catch and Dark Sheik. Jacob and Zilla Fatu beat Bang and Matthews. Joey Janela defeated Shane Mercer. Violence is Forever defended the tag title successfully against the Rejects. Danhausen beat Matt Cardona, and that was the main event of the night. But apparently, after the show, there was a dark glass ceiling match that wasn't aired on TV as Jimmy Lloyd defeated Rekka Rekka. I don't know who that is, but apparently it was a dark match after Triller went off the air. So that's interesting.
Oh, that is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
D- Did we watch some of this on a call? Am I mistaken? Maybe I put it on. I feel like I watched. Okay. My memory.
I think we might have. I remember watching some of this show. Mm-hmm. There's a strong chance it could have been on a call. Who can remember? Right. Again, this may as well be 6 months ago with where my mental capacity is right now. But I do remember seeing Dan Housen beat Matt Cardona. I'll say
right.
That.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, I remember that. I remember the tag, the Garbage Daddies.
Yes.
Winning. So yep. That was good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, from what I remember, this seemed like a very fun show.
Yeah, and that Detroit venue is so cool, and obviously you can speak to it more than I can, but it's just there's like a grime to it that just
so beautiful.
Yeah, there's something about it, and it's extremely grimy. So
I haven't experienced anything like that since Detroit.
Yeah,
even post Mania, like Spring Break wasn't wild like that. Right. You know, nothing that we did was that wild. So. Mm-hmm.
All right, so then we go to the next day for The Block is Hot from Rochester, New York. I think this is the first time they were there. Cole Radrick defeated Kevin Blackwood. The Rich and the Powerful defeated To Infinity and Beyond, which was Buzz Lightyear. No, Cheech and Colin Delaney. Nick Wayne beat Broski Jimmy. Mance Warner and Microman fought to a no contest. Marcus Mathers defeated Ariel Van Gogh, Facade, and Jay Lyon in a four-way. Jacob and Zilla fought two, defeated Gringo Loco and Oni El Bandito. The Mothership defeated High Seas, which was Cloudy and Nick Ando. Violence is Forever defeated Dan Housen and Nick Gage to retain the tag titles. Mm-hmm. And in the main event, it was Joey Janela and Sawyer Wreck defeating Blake Christian and Shane Mercer.
I don't believe I watched any of this.
Mm-hmm. Mance Warner and Microman was very fun for what it was.
Oh, I did see clips of that, yes.
That was really good. Jacob and Zilla Fatu, that tag match against Gringo Loco, and Bandito was very good, just super fun, just throwing their bodies all over the ring. That was really good. And the main event was really good. It was a good preview of what was to come for Spring Break. That was super fun. If I remember right, I think that match was added at like the last second of this show. And the tag title match would also lead to what we would see both Dan Housen and Nick Gage do at Spring Break. So you had that too, leading to that tag team match, which we'll talk about. But this was a pretty, for a debut in Rochester, New York, I think this was a pretty fun show. The main event was a really fun tag match. So yeah, it was a pretty good show.
Wasn't this like Lauderdale was like really excited to?
Yeah,
from Rochester.
I think it's his hometown, or he grew up there. Right, it was something like that.
So he was like really excited from what I recall in socials to be running the show there. So that's very cool.
And it was a good show from what we saw. So for what I saw. So then we get to The Collective. All these shows are going to be from Philadelphia, so I don't have to keep saying Philadelphia 28 times. We start on, I believe this was Thursday the 4th, with Bloodsport 10. Victor Benjamin defeated Akira by knockout. Nick Nemeth defeated Speedball Mike Bailey. Lindsay Snow beat Lady Frost in a semifinal of the women's tournament. Marina Shafir defeated Janae Kai. Charlie Dempsey, who is William Regal's kid and wrestles for NXT, defeated Matt Mikowski. Takuya Nomura defeated Fuminori Abe, I think is how you say it, by referee decision. Eric Hammer beat Lou Nixon by referee decision. Minoru Suzuki defeated Royce Isaacs by knockout. Timothy Thatcher defeated Axel Titcher. We'll go with that. Shayna Baszler defeated Masha Slamovich by ref decision. My God. In the women's tournament final, Marina Shafir beat Lindsay Snow by knockout. And in the main event, it was Josh Barnett beating Johnny Bloodsport by referee decision. Did you get a chance to watch this?
I didn't, but I heard it was an excellent show. Mm-hmm. And then I heard that Shayna won over Masha, and I was like, what the actual fuck, bro?
Yeah, apparently couple of people that we were with Mania Weekend went to this show, said it was really fun. Apparently there was a lot of WWE wrestlers there. Like, I think
in the crowd,
I think CM Punk was there and a bunch of other, like Natalia was there, just a bunch of people supporting Shayna. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, I always love these shows. Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to go back and watch it yet, but Bloodsport, they always deliver. It's a very different type of show than what you're used to. It's basically like an MMA type of thing in a weird way, but they're always super fun. So I definitely, when I get a chance, I want to go back and watch this show for sure.
Yeah. And this is something that makes me want to put it on my list definitely for next Mania or whenever they run this. Like, ordinarily I might skip it, but I feel like I've heard enough people talk about it. And, even from back, you know, to back in New Orleans days, about how it was.
It's tough because I think this show is usually like one of the first shows of the weekend. Like, I think this show was at like four o'clock on Thursday. I mean, I could have made it to it, but it would have been cutting it really close, you know, because like I had just gotten there by 4 o'clock. So you'd almost have to like get in early because it's usually like a Thursday at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock show.
We'll have to remember that for next year.
Yeah. So then we go to, I believe this show started at like midnight on the Thursday. We have GCW/JCW versus the World 2024. It was Jordan Oliver defeated. Oh, God, I'm going to butcher this. Agil Blanc, we'll say that. Griffin McCoy defeated Session Moth Martina. Masha Slamovich and Suri fought to a 30-minute draw. Your favorite, Jenny, a draw.
Oh, I love that.
Los Desperados, which is Arez, Gringo Loco, and Latico, defeated Team Dragon Gate of Dragon Kid, Shun Skywalker, and Yamato. The Astronauts and Rina Yamashita defeated Manders and the Garbage Daddies. We had a 14-man tag as Team GCW and JCW, which was Calvin Tankman, Charlie Tiger, Marcus Mathers, Mike Bailey, Mr. Danger, Terry Yaki, and Tony Deppen, as they defeated the World, which was Ho-Ho Loon, LJ Cleary, Lou Nixon, Mizuki Watase, Ricky Knight Jr., Shota, and Yasaku Ito. God, that's too many people.
That's a lot of people.
And then the main event was a four-way tag as Mao and our favorite blow-up doll, Yoshihiko, defeated Boisterous Behavior, which is Leon Slater and Manlike Duress, Los Macisos, and Norman Harris and Robert Dresker. That was the main event.
Wow.
I don't know half of what I said there.
Yeah. So. I don't know half of what you said there either.
Listen, that makes two of us.
And I didn't watch this show.
I didn't either. I think Chad went, our friend Chad went to this show, if I remember right. He said it was good. He said it was long, especially for a show starting at fucking midnight. But like, imagine seeing a 30-minute draw at 1 a.m. Like,
yeah, I would be main roster angry if that happened to me.
So, I mean, I'm sure it was good, but I haven't seen this anything from this show. So then we get to the main event of the weekend. Joey Janela's Spring Break 8. This was the next night in Philly. Correct me if I'm wrong. This was the Friday, right? I can't remember.
Yes, Friday.
Yeah, Friday. All right. Masha Slamovich and Rina Yamashita defeated Masato Tanaka and Minoru Suzuki. Speedball in the East-West Express beat Kerry Morton in the Rock and Roll Express. Dragon Gate Classic, which was Dragon Kid, KZY, and Yamato, defeated Rewa New Generation, which was Ben K, Kota Minura, and Shun Skywalker. Cole Radrick won the Grab the Brass Ring ladder match, defeating the aforementioned, whatever his name is, Blanc, Alec Price, Arez, Leon Slater, Marcus Mathers, Microman, Mr. Danger, and Myron Reed. Matt Cardona beat Blue Pain. Amazing Red beat Gringo Loco. In an I Quit match, it was Mance Warner defeating Effie. Maki Deathkill defeated Danhausen and Ram Kaicho. And in the main event, and a shocker, Christian defeats Joey Janela in 29 minutes to retain the world title.
Wow. So this was our show, and despite no light tubes, I really loved it. There was couple of standout moments for me. One was when Shun Skywalker ended up in my lap and during one of the matches, and that was great. And Maki, during the intro, she came up to right where I was and stood up on the chair, and then she looked down at me and patted me on my head, and I was like in heaven. So that was also very cool. During the ladder match, Microman was right near us, so we got to like really see him up close. That was awesome. But the wrestling was great. Like, there was a lot of cool spots. I thought Masha and Rena were awesome in the opener. Like, that was so fun. Such a great opener. I know you had a moment during the East-West Express
match. You had Shun Skywalker fall in your lap. I had Kerry Morton fall in my lap. That was a hell of a thing.
What was your reaction to that?
So I was, when he fell in my lap, I was looking the other way. So I think it was a reaction of like, get the fuck off me, just because I was kind of looking that way. And he was all of a sudden sitting on my lap, and then he threatened to punch me. And then I did one of these things and he backed right off.
Awesome. Let's see. I loved the Dragon Gate stuff. I didn't know a bunch of, I guess, really any of those wrestlers. But yeah, I loved that match. I thought that was awesome. That style of wrestling really got over with the crowd, I thought. Matt Cardona, of course, defeating Blue Pain. I thought that match was super fun.
Yeah, and it was great.
I loved the interference at the end for Matt to win.
The fireball at the end, too.
The fireball, Cardona. We didn't get light tubes, but we did get a fireball.
We did get a fireball, yeah.
And then I ended up with Matt Cardona's cup that he used during that match. So, not sure how that happened, but
Now, like, framed in, like, a crystal glass case thing?
No, I hadn't had the work done yet, but I plan to hang it up and display it.
Have it encased in like that Jurassic Park thing.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Let's see what else. I'll talk about one of the matches later, but also the Maki Death Kill match, the tag match was awesome.
Yep.
What was your favorite of this group?
Ooh.
Without giving away anything.
Without giving away, I mean, listen, I'll probably talk about it later, but I think should we talk about the main event, or is that the match you're saving for later?
No, it's not. Let's talk about the main event.
All right, because I think we talked about this before, but this felt like the time to switch the title. Like, going into the show, I was not expecting Blake Christian to leave with the champion.
No, I absolutely was not.
So that was kind of surprising, and so Missy Hyatt ended up turning on Joey Janela. That was the whole thing. And, like, if Missy Hyatt is going to stick around and be with Blake Christian, then fine, I'm okay with it. But if it was, like, a one-off thing, that's kind of a weird cop-out type of finish for that main event, I thought.
I don't see her sticking around. I mean, I know, that's wrong. But, after this show, 29 minutes was a bit much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a lot. Yep.
We were very much gassed by the end of this and then disappointed in the result.
Yeah.
I thought it was very well worked. I thought Joey earned that shit. You know, it was a great match, but just took too long and the finish sucked.
I wonder if Joey's the type of guy who just never wants to hold the title. And I don't know that he could just be one of those because of like how it would look optically if one of the guys who's one of the head honchos and one of the big names behind the scenes, like what would that look like if he wins the world title? Like, is he one of those type of guys? But I think it's different because like the crowd wants him to win the title. Do you know what I mean?
I agree.
So it's interesting.
I feel, I mean, like, you know, Nick Gage has also held that title, and I would say he's kind of big behind the scenes.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, 100%.
So I don't think it's anything like that, but what do we do now? Do we stay with Blake?
That's the thing, because, and I think we talked about this before too, but it feels like Blake as world champion has kind of done everything.
I think so too.
So I don't know where you go. Unless Missy Hyatt is sticking around and you start having her do stuff with him, I kind of don't know where you go from here. Like, even if Mance Warner were to come out and win the world title here, I think that to me would have made a lot more sense than Blake winning. And maybe that's why they did it too, because everybody was expecting Joey to win the world title. So as a surprise, they just kept it on Blake. Like, that wouldn't shock me either. But it's just, yeah, this was the one finish I did not expect happening at this show, was Blake retaining.
What did you think of the venue there?
I liked it. I thought it was cool. Yeah, I liked the ceiling was weird. It had like all these weird like metal ridges on it and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the reason we didn't get light tubes or anything like that was because it was a carpeted floor. And I feel like picking glass out of that would be a gigantic pain in the ass. So I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
It still would have been cool, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that. Is it just the Philly thing? Like, can you not do glass in Philly? Or I don't recall any of the other shows saying that they had glass.
No, they there was
maybe the Jersey shows.
Yeah, I think some of the Jersey shows did it. I don't know. I'd have to look at it. But I mean, I think we're seeing less and less shows as we keep going where mm-hmm. glass and, you know, tubes are a thing. Agreed. Like, it feels like Jersey's really the only state now where you see that type of stuff. So I don't know if it's like more states are banning it for whatever. I mean, it's got to be a pain in the ass to clean up. So I mean, I understand it from that perspective, but it does kind of feel like we're slowly drifting away from that type of wrestling in GCW.
That's true. I have noticed that to its detriment for me, just because I love to see it, but you know, like you said, you got to go where you can go, and you know, might not be allowed in some places.
Yeah. So then we go to, I believe this was somehow after Joey Janela's spring break, which, speaking of cleaning up, the fans were throwing bottles and shit at the ring. So they had to clean all that up before we got to this show, which was For the Culture in Philly. I think this was another one. Started at like midnight. Team Myron of Calvin Tankman, Darian Bengston, Devin Monroe, Myron Reed, and Ruckus beat Team Dala of AJ Francis, Isaiah Broner, Kita, Mr. Danger, and Teriyaki. In a four-way tag team match, we had Thick and Juicy of Brooke Valentine. That's a great name. Brooke Valentine and Faye Jackson beat the Kings of the District, which was Eel O'Neill and Jordan Blade, the Killionaires Club of Jay Bougie and PB Smooth, and the main event of Duke Davis and Gannon Jones Jr. Sonny Kiss defeated Man Like DeReese. In a scramble match, it was Jolene Navarro defeating Jada Stone, Janae Kai, Maya World, Maserati, and Tiara James. Jaw C defeated Too Cold Scorpio.
What?
In the Pan-African World Dysphoria Wrestling title, Shug D defeated Alex Kane. And in the main event, with special referee Darius Lockhart, easy for me to say, Darius Carter defeated Billy Dixon. I have not had a chance to watch this show. All I know is that it was on after spring break.
Yeah, I haven't watched it either. I am interested in Faye Jackson. I basically just know her from Twitter.
Yeah.
So I would be interested in seeing her wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
And Eel O'Neill is a great name.
That's a great name. Scorpio on this show.
Yep.
More on him later. More on our friend Scorpio. Mm-hmm. He may be wrestling on a show coming up very soon.
Mm-hmm.
So then we go to the next day, the next morning for Effie's Big Gay Brunch 9. We have a four-way match as Mono Moth defeated Aaron. It's been a day. Aaron Rourke, Devin Monroe, and Rico Gonzalez. Edith Surreal and Jamie Lynn Senegal defeated The Runway. Trisha Dora defeated Karam. Bussy defeated Dirty Breeze, which was Tyler Breeze and Fandango. Team Paro of Adriel Noctis, Angelo Carter, Junie Underwood, Kita, and Paro defeated Team Poyo of Alex Mays, Dylan McQueen, Don't Die Miles, Ron Bass, and Vert Vixen. That's a fantastic name, Don't Die Miles. Rina Yamashita defended the ultra-violent title successfully against Billy Dixon. And in the main event, it was Dark Sheik defeating Sunny Kiss.
Haven't watched this one either. I got a lot of shit to catch up on.
Yeah. Listen, turns out Mania Weekend makes you tired. Do people know this?
I feel like they probably do know that.
Yeah. I feel like that should be printed somewhere in writing. But Don't Die Miles is a very good name, so I'll probably watch that match for the sole purpose of hearing Don't Die Miles announced by our friend Emil J.
Yeah, I'm interested in that Bussy match as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that was probably fun, too, because they've been Breeze and Fandango. They've been, kind of been doing the indie stuff. They wrestled a show around here not that long ago, so they've kind of been touring as a team. So
I watched a lot of Tyler Breeze on PTB NXT for early NXT days, so yeah. I'm curious to see what he looks like these days.
Yeah, that could be interesting, just to see how they interact. And I believe, I was wrong. I thought this was the last show. I forgot the big one. We have a GCW versus TJPW. More names for me to pronounce. Suzumi defeated Palm Harajuku and Saki. Session Moth Martina defeated Raku. Arisu Endo defeated Shaza McKenzie. Steph DeLander defeated Hyper Masao. Dark Sheik defeated Yuki Kamafuko. Mizuki beat Ali Catch. Hakachumu, which was Miyu Watanabe and Rika Tatsumi, defeated Billy Starks and Janae Kai. I think I said those last two names, right?
Yeah, you did.
Maki Ito, Masha Slamovich, and Rina Yamashita defeated Miyu Yamashita, Shoko Nakajima, and Yuki Aino. I believe this was right after Big Gay Brunch. This was like in the afternoon on Saturday, like right before Mania, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, we were very busy. We didn't.
Yeah, we didn't.
There's a lot of wrestling here, you guys. Like,
it's a lot, and you know, I feel like we showed up and showed out for spring break.
We did, and believe it or not, there's one more show that happened after Mania on Saturday.
Well, you don't have to read all of these names.
Jenny, I was not going to read
all these names.
We'd be here a very long time. We had Joey Janela's Spring Break : Clusterfuck Forever, as this was a two-match card. And in the Punjabi prison match, Violence is Forever successfully defended the titles against Juicy Faneo and Zilla Fatu. More on that later. The Bollywood Boys and Los Macizos. And in the Clusterfuck, Microman would win the... looks like 85 people in this match. He would win the clusterfuck in 117 minutes and 52 seconds.
Amazing.
Uh-huh.
Amazing. Now, this is a must-watch show.
Yeah.
For me. Definitely. I ran out of time to do it today, but I might be putting this on after the show tonight.
So I did make it. It's a very long match. I made it about three quarters of the way through the clusterfuck, and it is very fun. It's exactly like it reads about, a clusterfuck. If you're a fan of a certain other three-letter company that we may talk about monthly on this very feed, you'll probably enjoy that match because there may be a couple of stars from that company who was based in Philadelphia that show up on this match. So that was fun. But yeah, it's the crazy thing is, one, this is a two match card. Two, it was after WrestleMania on Saturday. So this show started at midnight.
Crazy.
And three, these crazy bastards booked a 2-hour match at like 2 a.m.
I mean, this is why we love GCW for this fucking shit. This is insanity.
Yep.
And we're absolutely here for it, although we haven't watched it yet, but we will.
Right. It's ballsy. And the other thing I'll just mention too is Jacob Fatu was supposed to be in the Punjabi prison teaming with Zilla, And the hot rumor, hot off the press going around, is that he is signed with WWE, which is why he was not in this match. So that's the rumor going around. The interweb is that he's he is signed with WWE, and that's why he wasn't able to do this, because WWE did not want to risk this man getting severely hurt in a match with bamboo chairs, tables, and all kinds of other shit all over the place.
You think he's headed to the Bloodline?
That would be my guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
He is very good. Like,
quite the call up from GCW.
Oh,
right?
Totally. And I know he's related somehow. I think he's a cousin of like Roman and the Usos. So it would make a whole lot of sense if he would go there. So, but yeah, what I saw of the clusterfuck was very fun. I do need to finish it. I got like three quarters of the way through it, and it was super fun for what it was. So.
That's awesome. Can't wait to watch that one.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that takes care of the collective, all 85 shows of it.
Love it. All right, Maddie. It's time for our picks of the month. And I should have shown some fucking video from one of the other. I'll show it later as an honorable mention. I had two videos that I took out of all the hours that we were there at spring break. I took two videos. Anyway, not a lot of pictures, which I was slacking that night. So I'll show one of the videos for my match pick, and then I'll show a sort of honorable mention. So what did you pick?
So I have to go with Mance Warner versus Effie.
We picked the same thing then.
Well, look at that. It was almost like we planned it, just like we planned our damn shirts. Can you believe it? Yeah, listen, I've gushed over Mance Warner many a time on this podcast, so getting to see what presumably is the blow-off of this feud. I mean, they may have a match or two again down the line, but yeah, just super the most violent match we got on the show. Yes. Just super violent, just blood all over the place. The finish was great with Allie Catch coming out and Mance threatening to drill her skull in with a drill bit. Yeah, that was, I kind of have to go with that one. Just violence like you wanted, all kinds of doors and chairs and shit, just blood all over the place. It was awesome. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was everything. It's so emotional in that match. Yep. Here's a little clip I got.
Seconds. To say it or I do what you say it or I'm going to do what I got to do.
This is me and you. This is not her. This is me and you.
Say it.
Leave her alone!
No! Fuck you!
Fuck you! Let her go! I quit!
Seconds.
Shit, sorry. That was great. Like, once he got zip tied, I was like, oh no, it's over. Oh, that's it. I was pulling for Effie on this, but you know, I love me some heels, and Mance has been top of the heap of heels.
Oh yeah, he is like the heel, and next to Blake Christian, he's the heel in GCW, right? But was that Schiff yelling "fuck you"? It sounded.
I think it was.
It sounded just like him.
Funny story, before the show, we were walking up to the building through the parking lot, and there were some porta potties, and I had to go to the bathroom, and so I walk up to one of them, but there's somebody in there, so I'm like, okay, shit, there's somebody in here, And then I wait, not even a minute, Mance Warner comes out of the bathroom. And I'm like, thanks. And then as I go, I get in the porta potty, I sit down, I go, fuck, that was Mance Warner. It took me a hot minute to realize it. And when I came out, everybody's like, you know who that was before you in the porta potty. Like, yes, it hit me right when I was sitting down. So that was awesome. That's funny. Yeah, what a hell of a match. And I loved seeing the blood, the great spots that they had. And the violence level has ebbed and flowed in the whole feud. Mm-hmm. I thought, because some places you can get more violent, some places you can't. So, but I thought that this was perfect. Bringing Allie in and using the drill on her was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the best match of the night, I think. There were a couple other ones I thought were, like, I really enjoyed the opener, kind of like what you mentioned,
too. Me too, yes.
And the ladder match was a ton of fun, too. Like, every match, it was a fun show. Every match was at least good.
Yes.
But I think out of all of them, all 10 of them, or however many matches are on that show, I think I got to go with that one.
All right, for a little bit of an honorable mention, just because I was a huge mark for him when we were doing the TNA Never Dies show, and Amazing Red is on this card with Gringo Loco. And then I got an amazing video from my spot in the front row, so I'll show that now.
Seconds.
Shit, that's the wrong one. I'll show that now. Yeah, I love that spot.
Mm-hmm.
That was so cool.
Yeah, I had never seen him live either, so seeing him was definitely a treat. And he had a good match with Gringo Loco.
He really did. Yeah, I thought he really brought it. And you know, it's incredible. It's incredible to me. The older athletes that GCW brings in, and they just have these banger matches.
Yeah.
In some capacity, whether you're talking about, you know, Mike, or you know, and all that, you know, the older guys, or you're talking to somebody like Red, it's great.
Yep.
Let's see. Any other honorable mentions that you had from that group?
Oh boy. Yeah, I think I'll throw one to the opener. Like, when I was watching New Japan regularly, like a decade ago, Minoru Suzuki was the guy I immediately gravitated towards. Mm-hmm. So getting to see him live was a thing that I never thought would happen. Yes. So seeing him live was super cool. And him and Tanaka as a team.
Tanaka was so fun.
Fucking crazy. Yeah. So that match was, and that was a hell of a way to kick off the show. Like immediately, I think that was the first match announced for Spring Break, if I remember right. So to have it open the show was just fucking crazy. So it was a hell of a way to kick off the show.
Agreed.
So you're still thinking of me, just like I know you should. I cannot give you everything, you know I wish I could. I'm so high at the moment, I'm so caught up in this. Yeah, we're just young, dumb, and broke, but we still got love to give while we're young, dumb. Young, young, dumb, and broke. Young, dumb. Young, young, dumb, and broke. Young, dumb. Young, young, dumb, and broke. Young, dumb, broke, high school kid.
Always love getting to hear that one live, too.
God, that song stays in my head for, like, days after we do this show.
I love it. Yeah, me too. It always hits. So what do we got for shows coming up?
Well, believe it or not, not many, especially compared to the we're only doing four here right now. We're going to go into the first week of May, but we only have four shows to talk about. So it kind of balances it out with the 38 of them they had in Philly. Mm-hmm. So We are going to go to this coming weekend. How high in Los Angeles? I wonder why it's called that. Maybe because it's on 420.
Oh, yes.
I hope Method Man and Red Man show up. That was a how high the movie joke. That's a fantastic movie. Please watch it if you haven't. Grim Reaper, Mr. Danger, and Ruckus will face Blake Christian, Kerry Morton, and Shane Mercer. The Stoner Brothers, which is the team of Rick Scott Stoner and Scott Rick Stoner, will face Allie Catch and Effie, so that should be something. Dark Sheik will face Mance Warner. The Wolf Zaddies of Bad Dude Tito and Shea Cabrera will face Zilla Fatu and a mystery opponent. I'm guessing it'll probably be Juicy Faneo again, or maybe somebody else. Mm-hmm. And presumably the main event of this show, Joey Janela versus Too Cold Scorpio.
Well, damn, that should be a banger right there.
Yeah. I'll be watching this at night. I think it's an LA show, so it'll probably start at fucking 1 a.m.
Yeah, it will.
But I will, as long as I'm awake and presumably not drunk off my ass after watching playoff hockey for 12 hours, I will watch this show live.
Hopefully, I will get a chance to do the same.
Yep.
Will be on 420, so I will be very, 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 very high.
Right. How high will you be?
Very.
I see. The next day, we go to Albuquerque, New Mexico for Breaking GCW. If I remember right, I believe this show is taking place somewhere where they filmed either Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul. I can't remember which one, but...
I think it was Saul.
Was it Better Call Saul?
I want to say it was, yeah.
Yeah. So Dark Sheik will face Billy Starks. Joey Janela will face Fuego del Sol. Mance Warner will face Sam Stackhouse. Hot off the press, this match just added mere minutes before we started recording. Blake Christian defends the world title against Effie. And Nick Gage will face Broski Jimmy. That's a sneaky loaded card there.
What are the chances Effie takes the title?
I could see it. I was thinking that as we were starting up here recording this, I was wondering, is that how they do it? And is that how you get another Mance Warner Effie match?
Effie
winning the title. I could see that.
And, you know, Breaking GCW is a great name, number one. Being in Albuquerque, that's awesome. Having that location is awesome. Yep. So it seems like a special spot for something to happen.
We need Jesse calling someone a bitch on this show.
Yeah, maybe one of them will show up from the show. Yeah.
I am the one who knocks. Then we go to Tampa on 5/3. Only this is Rather You Than Me, and that's not me wanting you to read it. That's just the name of the show. Yeah, I'm just making sure. Trisha Dora will face Billy Starks. So as of right now, that is the only match announced for that show on May 3rd. And then we go to Jersey City, New Jersey on the 5th for Gringo Loco's The World on Lucha. This is it's going to be an all Lucha's show. Gringo Loco has done this Mania weekend before, so I wonder if they just flat out ran out of spots for him to do this show Mania weekend.
Maybe.
So they're doing it here. Pimpinella Escarlata will take on Effie.
Okay.
Masha Slamovich will face Dulce Tormenta. And then in the main event, Matt Cardona will face Gringo Loco.
Oh, that'll be good.
So, yeah, that should be a ton of fun. Only 3 matches announced for that show so far, but Cardona and Loco could be fantastic.
What do you think of their trend of having the wrestlers have their named shows? Joey Janela's, Gringo Loco's. Mm-hmm. You know, we've done it for a bunch. Jimmy Lloyd's.
Effie's,
you know, that's cool, right? That's it seems very unique to GCW and as well.
The shows are always like kind of geared towards what the wrestler is, right?
So, right,
like,
yeah,
Gringo Loco's gonna have the Lucha show, Effie's gonna have the gay brunch, Janela's gonna have just a mishmash of fucking insanity. So, I like it for that. I forgot what Jimmy Lloyd's show was. That was like a Halloween show, wasn't it?
Did he do an emo show?
Maybe that's what it was.
The emo show?
It was something like that. Or even like You have Josh Barnett, who I know is not right. a GCW regular, but he's got his own thing. So, yeah, I mean, I like it. What would a Nick Gage show be? I mean, I guess the Nick Gage Invitational.
Invitational, yeah.
Yeah, just so. Violence all over the place.
But it's just, like, it's really cool. Like, mm-hmm. I think, elevates those wrestlers and, mm-hmm. you know, kind of sets them apart as yeah. kind of higher up names on.
Yeah.
On any card that they're on,
you give Nick Wayne a show of people all under 20. Yeah, you know,
Nick Wayne. Okay, never mind. Young, dumb, and brokes,
right. or something. Young, you dumb, know? And full of. Oh, never mind.
that too.
Shout out to Tim Capel.
Yep. So, okay, well, they'll have to pad out some of those cards there. So yeah. We'll see what they add.
And we do have the Deathmatch tournament coming up, I think, June 1st. So we got that to look forward to, too.
Oh, they've announced, shit, yeah.
So, and they're doing Cage of Survival again, I think, on the next day. So they're doing that weekend again in Jersey. So we'll preview that coming up soon. That I think that I want to say that's like June 1st that show is happening. So.
Man, I really got to get to one of those Jersey shows.
Yeah, I know. I keep saying it, too. It's going to happen because, I mean, I know for you it's a flight, but for me it's like a three-and-a-half-hour drive. So there's,
oh, yeah, you should definitely do that.
If I fucking drove to Philly, I could drive to Atlantic City. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to have to happen at some point.
All right, well, I guess that's our show.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that we want to bring up?
No, just, I mean... Thoughts? Listen, just in general, you got to do a Mania weekend because it was a fucking blast. Just
right.
hanging out with you guys, going to 5 shows in 4 days. I don't know how the fuck I survived it, but I did. Barely. The drive home Monday was a bit rough, especially that last hour. It was white knuckling and a whole lot of caffeine to get through the rest of that drive. But it's well worth it for GCW, for all the other shows, just the vibe of the city with all the indie shows, the Mania stuff, like, you know, 80,000, 100,000 wrestling fans. Like, it's awesome. You got to go do it. It was my first Mania weekend, so comes highly recommended.
What was your favorite show? I mean, because we had such an intimate experience for front row at GCW versus, you know, a sold out fucking stadium where we're freezing our balls off and you know, far, far away from the ring.
Mm-hmm.
It's do you prefer one or the other? What do you
I mean? I always like going to indie shows because you're like right there. You know? I mean, it was definitely cool to go to a Mania too. I had never gone to a Mania, so getting that experience was really cool. But if I had to choose one, like, I'd rather sit front row at an indie show than sit, you know. Not quite. No, I mean, we had good seats for Mania. Don't get me wrong, but it's different, you know, where you're kind of you can see the ring, but you're also kind of watching the screen at the same time.
Most
too.
Of the time, yeah.
Where at GCW, it's like right in front of you, you know.
Right. Yeah, it loses something in the distance, I would say, you know. But you know, special charm to both of those experiences.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, if you get a chance to go to a Mania, I say do it. The show itself.
Absolutely.
And then just everything around it. All the shows, all the wrestling fans, just the vibe of everything. It's incredible. There's nothing like it as far as wrestling
totally
goes.
It's awesome. So glad you had the best time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So glad. I'll do it again in a heartbeat.
Hell yeah. So promote something that you got going on.
Promote something that I got going on. Well, right here on this feed, we have the Extreme Three-Way Dance, where we cover the aforementioned ECW. We were in the ECW arena, which is very cool.
So, yes.
Check that out. We're in the middle of 1999 for that. We got YouTube Roulette over on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, and Highway to the Impact Zone on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed. Stay tuned because we got big things popping in May for myself and a few other people who you know in this family we have going on here. So keep an eye out, keep an ear out for that. More to come on that later. So Listen to, I'll say this, listen to YouTube Roulette. I'm pretty sure that'll explain the whole spiel. So, yeah, big things coming.
All right. Can't wait for that. Mm-hmm. As for me, you can find me on Wednesdays. I'm right here on the North-South Connection. I have a show called Exposition, an X-Men podcast. And I have a show called Talking Docs, where we review documentaries. So check both of those out. I actually have some new stuff coming, I think. Some new ideas, anyway. So maybe some cool stuff for me in the future. And in the meantime, just follow me across all social at Jenny Position, and you'll see all the stuff that I do there. And thank y'all for listening. And remember, it is MDK.
All fucking day.
All right. We'll see you next time.